Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Kate Anderson, who's the Associate Director of Admissions at SUNY Oswego. Kate, it's so great to have you back. How are you?
Thanks so much, John. It is great to be back. I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm doing great and even happier to have you back. And thank you, by the way, for recording episodes 15, which was about SUNY Oswego. And also, you came and recorded episode 58 regarding the Common Application. Now, that episode received one of the highest downloads of all of the episodes. I truly appreciate it more than you know, and I'm thrilled to have you back again for a follow-up regarding SUNY Oswego. So, Kate, can you provide us with any significant updates or changes over the past few years in terms of your academic programs or your many clubs that students participate in at SUNY Oswego?
It's been a busy few years, years of change. You know, there was the pandemic, and that certainly had a big effect on schools. There were some good changes, I think. I think all schools ended up adding more virtual programming, which I think makes it really easy for applicants and their families to learn more about schools. So that was sort of, that was a plus. Initially, our student clubs took a little bit of a hit, you know, during when students were not on campus. But we are getting more and more clubs back. Every year, they're new and different clubs. And it's always fun to see those. Same thing with majors. I mean, I think things are always changing in the higher education landscape. And certainly at SUNY Oswego, we are super excited about our new president. Our former president was terrific, was the longest serving SUNY president in history. But our new president, Dr. Peter Nwosu, has great plans for Oswego and increasing the number of graduates, adding programs, really being a force for economic good in central New York. Oswego is located in upstate New York on the shores of Lake Ontario, just north of Syracuse. So we do have some a few new majors, or sometimes majors are existed, but they changed them a little bit. Like our criminal justice used to be called public justice, but it's criminal justice. So similarly, we now have a statistics major, and our wellness management major is health promotion and wellness management. So those are the newest.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on the new president. You have more virtual programs, additional clubs, and of course, some changes within your academic program. So Kate, have you seen a significant increase in the number of applications over the past few years? And are there any new trends or changes in your holistic application review process?
The last few years have been pretty wild. Yeah, big increase in applications, I think in large part due to the fact that the SUNY system, the State University of New York system, began some free application weeks. It's a great service for students and their families. Students have been able to apply to up to 5 SUNYs for free. So that's been the last couple of years. I think in 2021, we had just over 12,000 applications to SUNY Oswego. We're a medium-sized school with 6,000 undergraduate students. So we're right in that medium-sized school category. This year so far in 2024, we have almost 18,000 applications. So that's, you know, that's almost a 50%, not quite, but almost a 50% increase. I think part of that is that free application, which I love because give SUNY a chance. The SUNY system is terrific and has great programs. I think we've learned that we have to be flexible, and we can be flexible in an era where a lot of the schools were not test optional and then became test optional. That was certainly true for SUNY Oswego. We are test optional, but we still have found that we have plenty of information, even when we didn't have Regents scores or we didn't have test scores. So definitely, but in terms of changing, I mean, we use what we have in a holistic application review, which is what we use. It means that we truly look at everything, and we do have enough information to make good decisions.
Well, we appreciate that, and I'm glad you mentioned the free application weeks. That was something that the SUNY program put forth a few years back, where you could apply to up to 5 SUNY schools for free, and that was part of the reason, I'm sure, why the applications increased. You mentioned that in this last cycle, you had about 18,000 applications So, Kate, I was curious, as a state school, what is your institutional priority in terms of how many students you want in your freshman class? And are there any limits in terms of how many out-of-state students you may accept?
That's a great question. The SUNY system, as a state school, we really have a mission to educate students. Specifically, our mission is to provide to the people of New York educational services of the highest quality with the broadest possible access, fully representative of all segments of the population in a complete range of academic, professional, and vocational post-secondary programs. Clearly, I looked that up and I'm reading that, but I'm not sure I knew fully our mission, but that is our mission. So yes, we're a New York State school, but to my knowledge, we don't have a limit of how many students we can accept out of state or from other places, other countries. We have a lot of students coming. Of course, just because you graduate from a high school in New York State does not mean that you are a native New Yorker. You might have been born in another country, in another state. In-state students do get in-state tuition, which is a wonderful thing. Currently, $7,070, which is a tremendous bargain.
That's a bargain,
right?
Absolutely.
out-of-state students, we at Oswego give scholarships to out-of-state and international students, so that's good. But even it's still they often very very low cost and a tremendous value. But I'm not aware of any limit in terms of how many students we want. The demographics in New York State are such that the population is declining. So we would love to see more students. We can accommodate more students. We've had very healthy classes of more than 1,200 students, but I think our largest class ever was maybe 1,500, and it would be great to get back to that.
Well, we appreciate that overview. And I also love the fact that you talked about the cost and the tremendous value, but you mentioned, actually you read your mission statement, which I think is very important for students to think about. As you're researching schools, look at the mission statements. There might be something in the mission statement that will help you in schools that perhaps have supplemental essays, right? It gives you an opportunity to really demonstrate your understanding of the institution. So just want to point that out as a tip to the students. Now, Kate, you also mentioned that SUNY Oswego is in fact test optional now. So how has the test optional policy impacted the admissions process at Oswego over the past few years? And have you observed any differences in the application review or even outcomes for students who submit test scores versus those who did not?
That's a great question, too. I want to go back to one thing when you're talking about the mission statement.
Sure.
Because it's something that so often I talk with students and I think they're always talking about going to another state school. And they are terrific too. But I would ask students to please, give SUNY a chance. Since there's 64 schools, I truly believe there's a SUNY for everyone.
It sure is.
If you want to get off Long Island, trust me, Buffalo is off Long Island, right? Albany, wherever. So it's just something to think about. But test optional, yes, this was a change before COVID-19, I believe only SUNY Purchase and SUNY Potsdam were test optional in terms of the four-year schools. I love being test optional. I think the more ownership you can give applicants in this process, the more that they get to make the decisions. Are my standardized test scores in alignment with, my ability, with my, good reflection of who I am? Or should I just use my grades, which I've worked on for, by the time they apply to college, they have 3 years of high school grades.
Right.
So obviously much more than a day or two of testing. So I love being test optional. I think before, I don't think there's certainly not a disadvantage to being test optional, to not providing test scores now. I think before, students who weren't strong standardized test takers were the ones who were disadvantaged because you had some very intelligent students who just weren't good at this particular method of demonstrating what they know were at a disadvantage. So if a school says they are test optional, they truly are. There's no judgment. There's no assumption that just because you're not providing an SAT or ACT score that we're going to think, oh, you must not have done very well on those tests. We are letting you make this decision as the applicant and trust that you're making the right one for you. I want to caution students and families that sometimes there are schools who are test optional, but they may have programs within their school that's not test optional. And you don't want, if that's the program you want, you don't want to find out too late when there's not time for you to take a standardized test in time for that application cycle. So that's something to think about. But at all the data that I've looked at, most years about 60% of our students since we've been test optional have applied without a standardized test score, and about 40% with, maybe sometimes a little more, like almost two thirds. And for the every year that I've looked at, the percentage of students in the incoming class is the same percentage. And that says to me that no group is at a disadvantage. You know, it's really what you think is right for you. If you're providing standardized test scores, do know that sometimes you don't have to pay the fee that we allow you to self-report your test scores. Some schools super score, right? So if you took the test more than once, we're going to use those higher scores from different test dates and build that super score with those higher numbers.
Well, we appreciate that, particularly that you talked about the fact that if a school reports that they are test optional, students and parents, as Kate said, they truly are test optional. She mentioned that, for example, at SUNY Oswego, 60% of the students applied without submitting their test scores, and approximately the same percentage were admitted to SUNY Oswego. Those are students that did not submit. And I also appreciate the fact that you mentioned that many schools report being test optional, as we know, but sometimes within those schools, there might be a more competitive program that requires a test score. So again, I appreciate you mentioning that, and a reminder to students and all of the families listening, it's very important to always check the school's website for the most up-to-date information. So Kate, have there been any changes in how merit-based scholarships are awarded? And are students who do not submit standardized test scores at any disadvantage when it comes again to those merit-based scholarships?
At Oswego, certainly no one's at a disadvantage. We use the information we have. All applications are considered for merit scholarships, so everyone is going to be looked at. You don't have to fill out any additional information. You can get our highest merit scholarship with just grades, or you can get it with a combination of grades and test scores. It is a way that all SUNYs are test optional, but not all SUNYs are exactly the same. I love that at Oswego, we always do what is best for the applicant. If that test score, if you send a test score, and I may scratch my head and wonder why you sent me that test score because it's not helping you, I will look the other way and I'll use your grades. So we're not using it just because you put it down, but there are schools that and with good reason will say, well, if you provided us your test score, that to us is saying you wanted me to look at it. So just make sure you check with all the schools that you're applying to. But at Oswego, we do whatever is best for the student. So if your standardized test score helps you for either acceptance or for scholarship, then we're going to do whatever gets you in and gets you the most money. And sometimes there is a little different. We actually have a button we'll say calculate, you know, with test score or without. So that is how we do it at Oswego.
Well, we appreciate that insight. And another thing that people are always concerned about is, what about the high school down the road, right? And there's always a high school down the road that someone says or has more offerings. So Kate, when reviewing applications from so many high schools throughout the state and beyond, how do you take into account when one student school offers, let's say, over 20 advanced placement courses, while someone else's offers significantly less, and perhaps in that school, they place restrictions on how many advanced courses they may take, whether it's in 11th or 12th grade. So how do these two application types get reviewed in your office?
We really meet students where they are. I mean, you can't really control where your family lives. I guess you could go to a boarding school or a private school or parochial school and change. But for the most part, you know, many students go to the school that they're zoned for. It's one of the reasons I really like being a regional admissions counselor. I am SUNY Oswego's Long Island admissions counselor. I go to every high school on Long Island. That's my territory. I think when you have a territory, you get to know your schools. I know my schools very well. I've been doing this on Long Island for a decade, so I know the schools, and it's not just what the schools are offering; it's also things like how they weight grades, which is very different. Right. What kind of a bump do you get for those AP courses? And what's true for many schools is that we often will recalculate grades. Students think that's a bad thing because they love their weighted GPA more than their unweighted grade point average. But the truth is it's making the process more equitable and kind of applying the same standards. So we're looking at units for students. You know, we like to see Regents level and above. We will look at the rigor of the course. So of course, advanced placement, international baccalaureate, dual enrollment courses, honors courses, we see that. And those courses, you know, harder courses, we will give a little more weight to. Every school makes the sausage a little bit differently, a little special secret recipe, right? But I think it's important to know that we do understand, if you can't take an advanced placement course if your school didn't have it. And right. A student should not be punished for that. So really, when we recalculate, we are, to the best of our ability, leveling the playing field and giving all students sort of an equal chance.
Well, I appreciate you talking about the fact that you recalculate the GPA as indicated on the transcript using, of course, your own metrics, to your point, to level the playing field. So just curious, when you recalculate, are you looking at all courses or are you recalculating based on the core subjects only?
We focus on the core subjects, the five right. core, which are English, math, social studies, science, and world language. This is not a diss on other courses and electives. Of course, if a student is interested in the arts and music and theater or has a passion for something, electives, we see those grades. It's not that they're not important, but those core courses, you know, they're the core, they're the nucleus, right? That's right. what we're focusing on. But we always look at an entire transcript. We are focusing, though, on, as I said, we like to see Regents level and above. Sometimes students are doing a program like a BOCES program, and they don't have any choice about what level. That we understand that situation as well. But we actually are counting units. If you are in New York in your senior year in high school, there are very few courses you are required to take, right? You have to have English. You have to have social studies, half a year of physical education. That's about it, right? So you occasionally will see an application that has five free periods. That's not what we're hoping to see. Right. That's not challenging yourself. I do believe right. in eating lunch. You're allowed at least a lunch period. You could have a study hall. But so if New York State's not making you take subjects, we like to see students sticking with those course areas that are not required. So how many units do you have of world language? How many of science? How many of math? Remember that if you see it on your high school transcript, we're seeing it on your high school transcript. So sometimes there's a world language course from 7th and 8th grade. That would count and come through. But if you stick with language, you have 4 years of a world language, you actually wouldn't have to take it in college. Now, you may want to try a new language, but you would have met our requirement. So for students who are thinking, oh, this is not my favorite subject, maybe stick with it. And then in college, you can focus on other areas that maybe interest you more. I mean, I think world language is a wonderful thing to study. But same thing with math and science. If you're not being required to take it, you know, we like to see students continue. So at Oswego, we like to see 12 units combined of world language, math, and science. It's not a cutoff. You know, no one's required to have a certain number of classes, or you're not required that you've taken advanced placement courses or anything else. Every student is looked at, you know, individually and uniquely. And I think students have to make the choice that's right for them. You don't want to take an advanced placement course and have a grade in the low 70s when you could have a grade in the, you know, mid to high 80s in a Regents level course.
Well, I appreciate that. And you touched upon something that hasn't come up before. So the things that have come up before is, look, students, take a look at what is offered at your high school, build ramps, challenge yourself, select the courses that you're going to be most successful in, and again, keep building year after year throughout your high school. But what Kate talked about is the fact that, and I'm speaking for the state of New York, each high school requires that you have 4 years of English and social studies to get a high school diploma, again, in the great state of New York. However, science, math, and world language, not the case. You need 3 units of science, 3 units of math, and only 1 in world language. But one of the things that you pointed out is that you like to see 12 units, right, in science, math, and world language. So another way to differentiate yourself is to continue taking those courses beyond your graduation requirements. I think that's, again, another way to stand out in the overall application process. You agree with that, Kate, obviously, because you just shared it?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, you'll be better prepared for college. The more you challenge yourself in high school, the better prepared for college you will be. And if your dream school is a state school in another state, as we've established before, sometimes that's what people are looking for. Let's say you're eager to go to University of Massachusetts school. In Massachusetts, that great state requires 4 years of mathematics. So if you had stopped taking math and that was your dream school,
right,
you might be out of the running before you even apply. And you don't want that to happen. So that's why it's just better to stick with whatever level you're comfortable with. Try to make it Regents level and above, because there is a difference between AP chemistry and chemistry in the community, right?
So absolutely.
They don't have equal weight.
Absolutely. They don't have equal weight. But again, it points to the fact of don't just look at the minimum graduation requirements. Again, in New York, you need 3 years of math, 3 years of science. It's very important to continue that trend through senior year. And think about it. You're going away to college. The academics are not going to stop. They're actually going to get harder, right? So it's important to keep putting your best foot forward throughout high school, particularly in that 12th grade year, which is your last shot before entering whatever college or university that's lucky enough to have you. So speaking of the colleges and universities, we know that there's over 4,000 in the country. And of course, Kate, visiting campus before committing to a school is so important for the students to get a feeling of the campus and of course the surrounding area. Taking tours and spending time on campus are things that can't easily be replicated online. We always talk about the great virtual programs, which are phenomenal, and we have more and more since the pandemic, as you mentioned earlier. But when a student comes to campus, Kate, what are the areas that they should absolutely visit at Oswego? And what are some questions that they should be asking, right, to help them determine whether or not SUNY Oswego is the right fit for them?
There is nothing like being on campus. It's something that, if at all possible, you should do before making a decision of where you're going to spend a number of years of your life. You know, you want to make, you know, it's certainly possible to transfer. We have tons of students, more than 30% of our students transfer in. So a lot of students may decide to start at community college, and that can be a great choice for students and their families. But visiting at some point, schools try to make that as easy as possible. I mean, we aren't super close to Long Island. Oswego is a bit of a hike, but we have buses during our admitted student programs where we bring students up. You know, a lot of our New York City students' families, they may not have cars, and not everyone on Long Island has a car. So try to get, but you can learn enough about a school to know that you want to apply. Sometimes for admitted student programs or schools that really try to make this very easy for you. And some private schools may even get financial support for that. But when you're on campus, you know, I more than a question to ask, I think it's almost just being on the campus and getting a feeling, right, getting a vibe, seeing if you can picture yourself there. Do you like what you see? Bear in mind when you're, you know, if it's raining, it doesn't rain every day. that's a particular day. If it's right before finals, students may seem really stressed out. So be aware of when you're visiting. Sometimes it's a good idea, I think, for students to separate, divide and conquer. You know, sometimes students and parents have different questions. And if a student's on their own, they may just feel like, hey, it's kind of like I'm a college student for the day. I'd talk to students in dining halls and on campus and ask them questions. I think students have to think about, you should always be thinking about, there are so many great schools out there, but they're not all going to be as good a fit for you. So be thinking about what it is that's important to you. If you're an athlete, you want to see those facilities, or you want to meet with a coach. If you get accommodations, you're going to want to go to that office, because that office is going to be a big part of your experience at the college. So do some research ahead of time. Our Office of Accessibility Resources, which is the office that handles accommodations, is right in our student campus center. You know, of course, you want to go to the campus center and see what's happening. But I guess also, if you know, parents are always surprised. We have a lot of admitted student events. They start Saturday morning, and families say, where are the students? And I think, well, I don't know about you, but Saturday morning, 10 a.m. when I was in college, I was not awake.
That is so true. I actually remember visiting many schools over the years with my own daughters when they were going through the search. And yes, if we showed up on an early Saturday morning, or sometimes even on a Sunday, there weren't too many students walking around, that's for sure.
And even a Friday, Friday classes are not as popular, right? So I think,
absolutely.
But in terms of being successful on campus, you know, yes, college level work can be quite advanced, and you might find some areas difficult. Remember also that in college, you get to play to your strengths more, take more of the, you get to try some things you probably never heard of or didn't have at your high school. And there is just so much support. I don't know a college that doesn't have free tutoring and also a writing center. These are the free resources for students, and that can really help you be successful academically. And of course, you can always meet with your advisor. We have mentors that we give to students. So don't forget, it's a big adjustment, but if you're struggling, if you have questions, if you need help, ask for that help. It is there.
Well, so many great pieces of information. I want to repeat a couple of things that you said. First off, the fact that you can't replicate the feeling that you get once you're on that campus. It's amazing that so many schools have these tremendous online virtual programs, which are terrific. Definitely engage in all of them. But being on campus is certainly so important. And I always say, if you can't get to campus before applying, you certainly owe it to yourself to come to campus before matriculating, right? Should you get that acceptance letter and you're considering that school, you really owe it to yourself to visit at least that one time so that you could get that feel. And I also appreciate you talked about the fact that it's very important for students and parents to separate. I feel, and I remember, frankly, when I was in college many, many years ago, where, you know, you visit a campus with the family. It's really a fun time. Everybody's together. You do a tour. Perhaps you go out to lunch, you go out to dinner, whatever it is. And then, you know, you go home and everybody's happy. Everybody's together. But there's a false sense of comfort sometimes, I feel, if you don't give your child even an hour to be on the campus alone, sit on a bench, go to the dining hall, go to the student center, as you mentioned, talk to other students so that the student could get a feel not only of the campus, but reflect and think about, do I see myself here without the comfort of my family, my friends, whoever you're visiting colleges with, or not, right? So what do you think about that, Kate?
I agree 100%. And I think it's why a lot of times when it comes for a summer orientation, which some schools have and some don't, but many have something, usually a college or university will separate students and parents, partly right. Because they are interested in different parents focused on financial aid and safety. And then their students want to know, what am I going to do? What are all the fun things I can do? And
exactly.
How do I get to class? And all those. So schools do that intentionally, but I think that it gives that. And sometimes, but if you could do that on your own, why not? You know, just have that feeling. Because right, your parents will not be there with you
exactly.
If you're going away to college.
Exactly. If you're going away to college. And I do just think it's an added benefit to have that time alone. And another thing that you mentioned, by the way, in your response is that 30% of your students are actually transfer students, which is amazing. So just wondering, any advice for people that are listening in that might be considering transferring to Oswego, anything in terms of their application or their process to not only try to transfer in, but to be accepted as a transfer?
Yes, I think it's such an interesting trend. When I went to college, there were very few transfer students. It seems to me like this is something that's very different. So it is truly not a lonely path. It is a very well-trodden path. There's a lot of support. We have a transfer honor society. You know, things start afresh when you're starting college, or if you're starting as a transfer student, you are a transfer applicant if you have earned 12 or more college credits after graduating high school. So dual enrollment courses in high school you may have a lot of those credits. Right. They don't count. It's after you graduate high school. If you just take one college class, because you're taking a gap year and you're not going to college yet, that wouldn't make you a transfer applicant.
Got it.
It's important to know there's some differences. I mean, you save a lot of money if you go to community college because you're living at home, probably you're paying lower tuition. But scholarships can be different. Scholarships can change every year, but transfer scholarships are generally lower than first year scholarships. Sometimes I've had students who received a scholarship, were accepted, decided to go to community college, and then the next year say, but wait, last year I had this scholarship, but last year you were a first year applicant, not a transfer applicant. So those are things to know. But if you have fewer than 24 credits after high school, we want to see your high school transcript. Of course, it's not the most relevant academic work because you've been in college, but that's something that a transfer applicant would need to provide. But it's a pretty quick application process. And it's also a rolling one. It has a different timeline because if you're in college and we need to see those spring semester grades, that semester is not over until May. So you are on a different timeline than the students who are applying as seniors in high school.
Got it. So again, just to repeat, you need 12 or more college credits. That's after graduating high school to be considered a transfer student. And if you have fewer than 24, which, you know, would basically be if you're trying to transfer, I guess, after only one semester, if you have fewer than 24 credits, then you require the high school transcript. Did I get that right, Kate?
Yes, right. That's the way it is at Oswego. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned a lot of supports for transfer students and for all students. So, Kate, what other supports or resources does SUNY Oswego offer its students to ensure that, of course, they continue to be successful once they're on your campus, both academically and socially.
Right. Academically, you have the free tutoring in core subjects. You have the writing center. You have, you know, mentor, you have your advisor to go to. A lot of the support is also focused on social and emotional well-being. Counselors, sure. Counseling centers are very busy places in colleges mm-hmm. these days. These are stressful, anxious times. And, but, you know, we do have a lot of, you know, students can go to the counseling center, certainly if they're in crisis, but also, you know, for support, there are a lot of support groups, there are grief support groups, there's a lot of workshops and seminars we put on to help students with things like time management or managing stress. I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, one thing I think is a really great support that students sometimes wait too long to go to is to go to career services.
Right.
Because within career services, which will be, there will be your career services office for life. When you go to a school as an alumnus or alumna of a school, you are going to have access to that career services office. They do a lot more than just interview skills and resumes. There's a lot that's happening there. This probably where internship offices, co-op programs, things like that. So getting to know that career services office, speaking with the people there who are going to help you when you are leaving college and finding a job is something I would definitely encourage students to do, because I mean, I just love our career services office at Oswego. They do a lot of really innovative programming. One of my favorite things is what was called the Digital Dirt Squad. So it's sometimes people post things on social media that seem really funny when they're 15, and then at 25 they may wish that they hadn't posted that.
It's not so
especially
funny.
If a prospective employer, they may be looking at this. So right. What the Digital Dirt Squad will do, we'll go in and dig deep. And wow. If anything needs some scrubbing, you know, they help you with that. And I think that's just terrific.
Well, I agree. I definitely think it's terrific. As you know, the students today, technology, social media, I mean, it's obviously their way of communicating, far different than, frankly, when I was in college or high school. So that's a great point. And I appreciate the fact that you mentioned the career services, because it's not just about getting into college, transitioning to college, but also what comes next, right? So your career services offer internships, but also help with interviews, resume building, and what have you. So I think it's a fair question for students to ask, you know, when you meet with a rep students, whether it's on campus or even at a college fair, or if there's a visit to your high school, it is a fair question to ask, what career planning services does Oswego, for example, offer for when I graduate and I'm thinking about my plans after being at Oswego? So, Kate, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I can't thank you enough. Before I get to that last question, I just have to ask, is there a question that I didn't ask or a topic that I didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us now?
Let's see. I will maybe talk a teeny bit more about career services, just in the fact that, you know, I think it does sometimes get a little bit overlooked, but even as an applicant, you could consider following that office. Look, you know, if you want to really know about a school,
right,
look at what's happening at career services at that school. Who's coming to interview on campus? What sort of workshops are there? So a lot of schools have their daily calendar, they have daily emails. These are things that you can access. And if you want to know what life is really like, admitted student days, open houses, they're great. They're fun, but they are unique days where we are putting everything, you know, everything's happening all at once. It's not a typical day. So if you want, so there can be value in visiting a college on a typical day, or in just sort of accessing the information that an Oswego student would get on a typical day. So just another plug for just checking in, seeing what's happening at schools. The only thing I think maybe we didn't talk about, which was newsworthy this week, was the change in the ACT. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So, I mean, the SAT and the ACT all the years, the decades that I've been working with and seeing those exams, is interesting to me how they're sort of almost, they're becoming more similar.
Yes.
And so just this week, ACT announced that the science section, which was really very different, you know, ACT had science, SAT didn't, would be optional. Mm-hmm. And they're shortening the test. I guess they're also making it less expensive, so that is nice. And then, as always, the writing section is optional. But that to me, given the day that we're speaking, that was a change that was announced this week, which is interesting.
Well, that's terrific. And I really appreciate you sharing that. And unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which always is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide students and their families getting ready for the college admissions process?
I should have checked and looked at what I said in the past, but it's probably pretty similar. I always tell students to cast a wide net. You know, don't arbitrarily rule out a school for any reason. Don't be afraid of cost or distance or what your friend says or what anyone thinks, or because you really just want to keep an open mind. I know there's a lot of noise and confusion and anxiety about this process, but I really feel like if you focus on yourself, what you're looking for, what's a good fit for you, your family, the finances sort themselves out. You know, that's information. As long as you keep your options open and don't apply in a binding way like early decision, you'll be able to make sure that the finances are affordable. And some private schools end up being very affordable for students. So go for that good fit, you know, socially, academically, financially. And I guess lastly, I'd say don't be afraid to ask for help. There are really so many good free resources out there. So many people willing to help. You know, the counselors like me who come to your high school, who you meet at fairs, we're really there like your school counselors to help you find the best fit. You know, I don't want to convince someone to come to Oswego if they're not happy. And I think, you know, we are counselors. We are there to help you.
Well, those are terrific pieces of advice. I want to just repeat one thing. As you said, cast a wide net, keep your options open. Students, there are over 4,000 colleges and universities throughout the country. There are many schools that are for you, but not every school is for you. And, you know, one thing that we didn't talk about was rankings. So, for example, if there's a school in the top 10, but that school is in an urban environment and you want a rural environment, it doesn't matter which family member, which friend is applying to that school. If that's not the environment that you want for yourself, as you're finding that fit, then that's the wrong school. Pick something else. So again, cast that wide net, keep your options open, and it's going to be all right. Kate, this has been awesome. Obviously, SUNY Oswego, so lucky to have you, as were we today. I am going to have you back, so, you know, don't think this is the last one. And again, I can't thank you enough, Kate.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college search. Take care all, and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.